Good morning to the various clans that live in the Rocky Mountains, feeding on fungus and tiny worms and various creatures that only live in the night. It's right around 10:40 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in the great state of Utah. Every Utahian is waking from their slumber and seeing the day. They look to the sky and they see that the Skyhawk Shaman is laying his trail of love. They look to the sky and they see that the Skyhawk Shaman is filling the air with all kinds of wonderful things. Because it's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday. Friday, Memorial Day weekend. You're gonna go to the park. You're gonna hang out with old people and talk about the wars. Yes, indeed, my friends, this is the Planetary Status Report, and this is your friend Dan, and if you're listening on shortwave radio, on either a Saturday or a Sunday night, right around 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am talking through the airwaves from WRMI, Miami Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz is the frequency, right? I'm talking to you through space and time. I am laying out a message of the future for you out there on shortwave. But right now it's Friday, Friday, May the 28th, 2021, the year of Boblimpdoc. I'm going to have a little sip of my coffee, if that's okay with you, brothers and sisters. A little sip of my Sanka. No, it's not Sanka, because it's not decaffeinated. You know what I'm going to drink? I'm going to drink the dark blood of the earth. I am suckling upon the tit of the dying wench that was once life. I am taking the long last kiss of the hooker named Gaia. I am touching the soils and the valleys and the rivers. I am mowing the lawn. I'm just drinking some coffee to get my head going. I'm going a little bit off topic here because I need to talk about something, and it's not in the notes, but if you're listening on shortwave and you go to dfgtc.org/shownotes, that's dfgtc, Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie, .org/shownotes, you can get the notes and see that I'm going a bit off topic by checking the date of the broadcast and, you know, the notes that are there. I know it's really difficult. I know it's difficult to check your calendar to convert between Eastern Standard Time and UTC. Or the time of the Queen, Greenwich Mean Time, the time of the Queen and the Queen's Empire. But I'm going to go off topic here. I just had a really terrible conversation with somebody that I care about. And you don't need to know who. It's somebody I know. That's all you need to know. And a year ago, I would have been upset because I would have said to myself, Dan, you can't talk to that person that way. A year ago, I would have come up with rationalizations and explanations. A year ago, I would have said, well, they're just wearing the coffee filter out of fear. That's all. It's just fear. Hanlon's razor, right? People are mostly stupid, not evil. Hanlon sounds like a sociopath. The more I meditate on Hanlon's razor, the more I wonder, what you do with that razor on Saturday night, Hanlon, if you're still alive? I don't know if you're alive. You might be an old drunk philosopher someplace, trolling the sophomores for a little snatch. Yeah, a year ago, if I had said what I'd said, I would have been upset at myself. I would have said, Dan, you can't be that way. You have to be understanding. You have to be a good Christian. I mean, they basically managed to shut down the church, as I understand it. I don't mean the Catholic Church. They're doing fine with all of this terrible, terrible dystopian nonsense. And I don't really mean any of the quote-unquote 501c3 tax-exempt churches, because if you don't understand what tax-exempt means, then you probably will have a harder time understanding the message of Christ. A year ago, they began to attack the church, which means the voluntary right of human beings to meet together in numbers greater than two and to worship Jesus Christ without fear. That is the church. It's not a building. It's not just one group of people. It is all people in faith to Christ, and it is the right to be with each other and to shake hands and to hug and to live without fear. A year ago, if I'd been mean and condescending about the coffee filter and about the cowardness, yeah, I would have felt bad. Now, I think I did a good deed, because there is one chance in hell that that person, and maybe not today, but that that person might open their eyes and see what's going on. This has become a nation that is so cowardly, we would rather hold on to our fears and our prisons. We would rather hold on to our cops and our chaos. We would rather hold on to the cold grip of death than to simply bravely confront the truth. If you want to know why the PSYOP works, that's why the PSYOP works. That's how military psychological operations ultimately succeed, whether it's the first Gulf War, whether it's 9/11, or whether it's the monkey herpes. Psychological operations succeed for the same reason grifters succeed, for the same reason con artists succeed, for the same reason a lot of bluffers succeed when they play poker. Because they know what I know, and every sociopath, including Hanlon, the inventor of Hanlon's razor, knows. People want to believe the easy lies. People want to be told nice things. People want to be told that there's going to be a happy ending. Always. Everybody gets a happy ending. But that's not the truth, though, is it? So right now, we're in a situation where people are embracing tyranny because they are too afraid to ask the right questions. They are. They're embracing weird mythologies around QAnon and the reset and all this other crap. And I tell you, the reset happened at least by 1945, and you look at me gormlessly. And then you stare at your glowing rectangle, brothers and sisters. I use this thought experiment because it's a useful one in describing people's inability to reason at this point or to think logically. I'm not going to tell you about the dinner I had in 2013 with the real estate woman who didn't understand the relationship between monetary inflation and not being able to feed your family in North Africa. She was dense. She was fucking stupid. And yeah, I know I just dropped an F-bomb, FCC. Sue me. I think you got bigger problems, though. No, here's your simple thought experiment. You have a friend who has a garage. Your friend has a garage. It has a broken foundation. It has a broken foundation. It has a mold problem. It has lots of issues. You do a little painting. You do a little cleaning. You paint the freaking concrete and polish it after you fill in the cracks where the obvious break is in the foundation. You cover it up with a throw rug. And then you go on the market and you say, this bungalow, it's not a garage anymore. It's not a detached garage. It's a bungalow. Your bungalow in Ballard, Seattle is worth $700,000 because somebody told you that on the internet, so it must be true. It must be true, right? And then one day I'm talking to you, you're my friend with your 700 grand bungalow, and you might even be close to escrow on it, which means there's a greater fool, there's a crazier person, someone is chasing the tulip thinking they're going to make billions on the tulip. Okay. And we're talking, and you look across the street and you point out a homeless family. A homeless family living out of an old van. It looks like they haven't been able to take a bath in a few weeks. It looks like they barely have enough food. And you comment, I don't understand why there are so many homeless people, Dan. I don't get it. And yes, I know, in a previous podcast, we had this conversation. We had this discussion. We're having it again. Because people can't reason, okay? They can't connect the dots. They think that their detached garage that has a mold issue is a 700K flat. They don't understand why there are homeless people. If you want to understand why we might be so screwed, it's because a lot of you listening might not even understand that simple construction I just provided. You know, your 700K bungalow with a mold problem and complaining about homeless people. Connect the dots. If we had a Fannie and Freddie for food and water, we would have warehouses filled with food and water and people dying of thirst and hunger in the streets. Connect the dots. Use your brain. If you think we're going to build an economy around flipping houses to each other, no, this was the thing that was going to happen last. You know, when our good old friend Alan Greenspan was wargaming the future after the petrodollar in the mid-1970s, Bo Blimpdoc, Alan thought about the future. Good old Alan Greenspan. They called him Maestro for inventing the bomb. No, he didn't invent the bomb. He invented the debt bomb. Maybe what he really invented was the gimmick economy, what he really did. Maybe he figured out what other people knew, that you can game the numbers, you can mess with the data, you can convince people that hamburger is really steak, you know, and everything will be just fine. And yeah, we can flip houses to each other for a few years, then what? What are we building on any of this? So yeah, I got angry with a person today, and I know this seems like a really scatterbrained, random segue to a different topic, but I got angry with someone because they could not reason themselves out of their own crap. If the mask were critical, you would wear it all the time. You wouldn't just wear it. You wouldn't say, I just showed up in Utah, Dan, and nobody's wearing a mask. Should I wear it? That wouldn't be the question. Because if there had been a real pandemic, you would have seen bodies and viscera and blood. There'd be no dancing nurses because most of them would be dead. That's if the pandemic were real. You already know when you ask me that question, do I have to wear the mask? You already know it's bullshit. when you ask that question. You really do. You must. And if you don't put on the mask, you totally know it's bullshit. Okay? There is nothing situational about viruses. There is nothing contextual about bacteria other than the basic environment. Let me give you the simple basics. UV light kills bacteria and viruses. Whatever Anthony Fauci, the tiny little morbid little creep, tells you, ultraviolet radiation, okay, kills viruses, kills bacteria. The reason why they built tuberculosis clinics in the desert was because of this, that in the dry air. So if you walk around Vegas or any desert in the Southwest and you're wearing a mask in the hot blazing sun, what the hell is wrong with you? Do you want kids to do this? Kids have been dropping dead from heat stroke. They have. And I'm pretty certain they're covering it up and calling it COVID in a lot of cases. Do you want kids to look at you, look up to you, put on the mask and die? That's a simple, really simple question. You don't have to pull out the calculus book. If you ask me, do I have to wear a mask? Who do you think I am, buddy? I'm the old drunk computer programmer in Utah. I'm an old burnout. If you're asking me if you have to wear the mask, that logically implies you know it's crap. You know that it's crap. And if you know it's crap and you're putting it on and you also know it's harmful and you also know it's psychologically damaging, and if like me, you're beginning to get that little circle of friends where pretty soon someone who's one degree of Kevin Bacon away from you is going to kill themselves, you should take off the mask. You should. It was too late a year ago. It's still too late, probably, but it's never too early to reject evil. It isn't. It's never too early to reject the darkness. The Lord in heaven will welcome you right up to the last minute if your heart is pure, if your heart is true. If you say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me, Jesus will save you. But if you walk around with that mask on and you ever ask me again, do I have to wear it? I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably do what I'm doing right now and just go crazy. Okay? So do I feel bad about rebuking someone I love? No. No, I don't. I don't feel bad about rebuking anybody I love. I don't feel bad about being rebuked. Okay? I don't feel bad about people telling me the crap I'm doing. Believe me, I get a lot of that. Especially from my family. Before I fled Seattle, and I didn't really want to bring this up, but I'm going to. A family member of mine associated the death of a 50-year-old friend with the fact that I don't believe the COVID is real. And so in a really passive-aggressive way, this family member attached the random death of a person I'd never met to the fact that I believe we are being exposed to lies, not viruses. So now I don't feel bad, really. I feel bad that a year ago I fed people's egos. I feel bad that a year ago I came up with excuses for other people, including myself. I feel bad that a year ago I didn't do everything I could have done to overtly fight back. And that's not social media, and that's not YouTube, and that's not crypto. Fighting back a year ago means what fighting back means today. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to say more than that. If you understand anything about reality, you can fill in the blanks. I am upset that I didn't fight back, and I'm upset that a lot of the people I know didn't fight back, and I think that it might be too late. And I don't know what's coming next, but I'm pretty certain we're heading towards Act 3. Okay, we've had Act 1 and 2. Act 1 and 2 were the monkey herpes and the race war. Okay, we had those. Act 3 is coming. And I don't know what Act 3 is. I got weird theories, but I don't know. So I'm not sorry for being mean to a friend or to a person I care about. I'm not sorry for being insulting. I think people are being killed by this lie, and I think if you participate in it, you're participating in that. So at some point, you need to wake up and do something. But this collective child abuse is wrong. It's not a little bad. It's wrong. And if you're an adult, if you're a parent, and you're pushing this COVID fear nonsense, you're a really shitty parent, and you're a really shitty adult. Does that make it clear, FCC? Next topic. This will be a short one, I think. I'm going to say something that I believe is true. Now, the reason why it's true is not going to be obvious, but it is true. Joe Biden, if there's anything going on in his skull, and I'm not sure there is, Joe Biden is the mayor of Washington, D.C. at this point. I've said this about military psychological operations, whether it's the Quaker guns at Richmond or any of the other examples, all things being equal, militaries treat PSYOPs as a weak strategy. It's not a strategy of strength. You don't use a PSYOP if you have all the strength. You use a PSYOP out of weakness. You use a PSYOP because you've run out of other better ideas, actually. So the fact that we're being fed all this fear, and we are, we're being fed fear, we're being shown videos of fat cops stealing bikes, we're being shown all kinds of fear porn. I don't really see the reality when I walk down the streets. I do see the garbage, you know, I see the masks discarded by the wayside, and I wonder if Iron Eyes Cody in his magical 1970s disco canoe is crying someplace. Iron Eyes Cody in his canoe, canoeing down the river, he sees a mask. Iron Eyes Cody. You remember that commercial about don't pollute, don't dump garbage in the river because the old Native American who's really Sicilian is going to cry? Iron Eyes Cody? If Iron Eyes Cody were walking around the streets of any town, including small town Utah, because guess what? In small town Utah, about every 10 feet, I see a crumpled up mask on the ground. So if Iron Eyes Cody were walking around, what do you think he would think? Anyways, this is what I think. I think Iron Eyes Cody would say, this is COVID nonsense, this is BS, and Joseph Biden is the mayor of Washington, D.C. You see, they used to call the president of Afghanistan the mayor of Kabul. You know why, brothers and sisters? You know why? Because the president of Afghanistan had authority basically within Kabul, not beyond it. I believe that for all intents and purposes, that is where the United States is at this point. A lot of people don't see it. There are a lot of operators who've been keeping their powder dry, who are probably waiting for it. They don't see it because they're basically being suckered by the PSYOPs. They are being suckered by the Stockholm Syndrome. But Joseph Biden is the mayor of Washington, D.C. He can issue all kinds of crazy edicts. He can put a murderer in charge of the ATF. It doesn't really matter. He's the mayor of Washington, D.C. If you realize that simple, simple truth, then you realize that you are now free. Free to do what you want to do. Free to be as you want to be. Just be smart about it. And don't antagonize a cop. Yeah, I'm not saying you should go around doing bad things. That's actually wrong. What I will say, though, is that legal authority for several months now has been a giant question mark. I don't think anyone has any legal authority. The U.S. Constitution has been totally disregarded, which means technically we're in a completely different state of government. And if you ask me, other than scaring people with a lot of crap, I don't see much coming out of the White House, folks. Or what I would like to say, the house where the mayor of Washington, D.C. lives. The mayor of Washington, D.C. If you can embrace that simple truth, and you're a libertarian or ANCAP or voluntarist like me, if you see human freedom as not just a want, but a need, like water, like food, like shelter, then knowing that Joseph Biden is the mayor of Washington, D.C., his power is crumbling. His empire's crap. Next topic, I'm going to revisit Hanlon's razor because, and again, I kind of beat up on Hanlon with my off-topic topic to begin with. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, this would be 5950 kilohertz out of Okeechobee, Florida, Miami, WRMI, from the Great Swamp, from the Lake Okeechobee, a hairless French bulldog will arise. Riding on that French bulldog will be the Emperor of France. And the Emperor of France will be delivering pizza. Pizza to the White House. Pizza to the mayor of Washington, D.C. Hanlon's razor. And I've talked about this over a couple podcasts because it occurred to me the other day that it was total BS. That like the trolley problem, it's the kind of, well, Doritos for the brain that tastes good but has no nutritional value. It has no real intellectual weight. It's a supposition based upon a study that no one's ever performed. And the basic supposition is the most likely explanation for bad things is human ignorance. It's mistakes. It's errors. So like, Ted Bundy invites you out on a date. Ted Bundy invites you on a date. It's 1978. Maybe it's 1975. You're still alive. And you're going out with Ted. He says you're pretty. He says, get in my car. You think he's sexy. You want him to tear off your shirt. So you're out on a date with Ted Bundy. And as you're sitting in the passenger seat of his Volkswagen Bug, he accidentally picks up a chunk of firewood and smashes in your face. But Hanlon's razor says, he's sorry, He's sorry. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. He's sorry. He's sorry. I'm sorry. I'm Ted Bundy. I made a mistake. I accidentally bashed in your face with a chunk of firewood. Or no, better yet, you know, a tire iron. Probably a tire iron. Right? It was a mistake, though, right, Mr. Hanlon? Here's the deal. A lot of people, and God bless them because Jesus loves them, you know? Jesus loves the people that see the good in the world. Jesus loves those people that can find it because, and here's why. Finding actual good in this world is not easy. It's easy to find a bunch of people that spout nonsense. It's easy to find sunny day friends. It's easy to find people who are just totally there for you when everyone's got money and everyone's got a job and everyone's really happy and everyone's having great sex. But you really find out who the good people are when those things aren't all true and maybe none of them are. You find out who the good people are when they listen to your voice and they realize this guy's in trouble. This guy needs help. He doesn't need to say it. He needs help. So instead of taking advantage of him, I'll actually help him. Those people exist, brothers and sisters. I'm actually living, you know, renting a room from people like that right now. They exist. They're out there. There are people out there who are decent and good. Not perfect. They're not always going to make you laugh. I'm not talking about the make-believe things. I'm talking about solid people who care, who have a heart. Hanlon wants you to believe that there are basically lots of good people out there who just make terrible mistakes. I'm going to counter his point. I think, especially at this stage in human history, Bo Blimp Doc, and I'm including all my siblings and the 13 nieces and nephews, no offense, nieces and nephews, because at this point, you're pretty much almost all adults, so you need to grow up fast. And none of you listen anyways, Bo Blimp Doc, so it doesn't matter. At this point, I don't know who I would trust. This experience I had with a sibling a month or so ago was so creepy that it occurred to me that this is the kind of person that would turn in their siblings. This is the kind of person that would call the hotline and tell somebody, this person didn't have their vaccine, this person's using a fake vaccine card, I saw them partying with people in the backyard, they weren't wearing a coffee filter. Foe. Work on those F-bombs, Dan. Jesus is on your shoulder. Jesus is watching over you, and so is the devil. So watch those F-bombs, Dan. The FCC is coming for you. Hanlon's razor supposes that we can ascribe to human ignorance and mistakes and errors most of the problems in the world. I'm going to actually say that that's probably crap. I'm not saying it's not sometimes true. But I think he's got the ratio completely ass backwards in terms of the Pareto. If we think in terms of a Pareto distribution, I would say 20% of the time he's right now. Maybe, and I'm being really generous. 20% of the time, it is just, you know, human stupidity. But at this point, 80% is pinging on the evil category. Mr. Hanlon, if you're still alive, or whoever quotes your stupid Hanlon's razor. I don't know how you supposed any of the crap you supposed. Maybe it's because you lived in that rarefied academic world. But in the real world, I think your ratio is off completely. I think that if you're nice, 20% is error. At this point, 80% of what I'm seeing is evil. And so if you're one of these optimistic anarchists who believes that because you live in the country, you're going to be fine, because you're surrounded by good country folk, even though their kids stare gormlessly at their glowing rectangles. If you're one of these happy, shiny libertarians or anarchists, I need to give you a warning, okay? Hanlon's razor is crap. And a lot of your neighbors, including their children, that you think are going to be okay on day zero, how can I put this? I am living in a small town right now, but there are still people who wear masks. I'm living in a small town right now, but people just dump their masks in the street, and things haven't really gotten hard yet. But they will soon. They will. Soon enough, you're going to find out if Hanlon's razor is true. Because you can work with mistakes. You can. You can mentor people. You can educate people. And with respect to the soul, with respect to the spirit, you can spread the word of God. And the word of God, the actual word of God, the word that comes from the Bible, is a lot of wisdom, and it can help people. And maybe it's not all easy to understand, but enough of it is. There are things you can do with people who are simply in error. But what I am telling you, at this point in human history, most of these people have adopted evil. They have adopted a religion of the devil. When, you know, magical space Jesus shows up, and I'll talk about that in the next podcast, when outer space Jesus shows up, aka Antichrist, a lot of people are going to say, oh yeah, the UFOs, this is great. And they're going to go for it. And they're going to jump into it. And they will do everything that outer space Jesus tells them to do. And if they go to a 501c3 church, that minister will say, I was wrong. Outer space Jesus is the real Jesus. And you can call me crazy. I told people I cared about in September of 2019 that we were 90 days away from everything going sideways. I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but I knew something was coming. I was right. And I'm just going to give myself a little bit of credit. I'm telling you that we are on the verge of a major change in the topic, and it's entirely plausible that you will find yourself in a state of chaos. I didn't say anarchy. Anarchy is not chaos, actually. Anarchy is actually order. It's the only order that works. It's spontaneous. It's based on liberty. No, I'm talking about chaos. I'm talking about people that have no moral compass, no self-governance. I'm talking about generations of people educated in the public schools. You really need to think on this, brothers and sisters. Generations of public school educated people. Not enough food, not enough water, not enough shelter. What do you think is going to happen, Mr. and Mrs. Hanlon's razor? I think it's much more likely that you find the razor slit in your throat. Now, you can say at that point, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. I accidentally took the knife and cut your throat. It was a mistake. It was an accident. And I'll never do it again because you're dead. So if I do it again, it'll be somebody else. And for them, it'll be the first time. Next topic, I beat up on Hanlon's razor enough. I think I spoke about it the other day, and I'm just really upset. I just can't stop talking about Hanlon's razor. Okay, next topic. Yeah, and I've got a lot to get through. Some of these are quotes from Dr. Freckles, and I'll push through them. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Read Ayn Rand, watch Sam Peckinpah films. That's all you need to know. So read Ayn Rand, watch Sam Peckinpah films. That's all you need to know. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. What does that mean? Well, my friends, I think we're entering a time where watching the original Sam Peckinpah Straw Dogs, for example, might be a useful film to get your head in the game. And I think reading some Ayn Rand can help you get your head in the game too, you know. I love Ayn Rand. I love The Fountainhead. I prefer it over Atlas Shrugged, but Atlas Shrugged is good too. It's just more of a tome if you've read it. It takes a while, and there's a lot in there. And it's not just the super fantastic John Galt speech, which I think it goes on for like 70 pages based upon type font. And I think 70 pages is when you're kind of a small type font, you know, the font, the characters. No, I think that you guys can figure that out for yourself. And if you're listening on shortwave, all the text and quotes for Dr. Freckles can be found by going to dfgtc.org/shownotes. Pick the right date for the right shortwave broadcast. You'll find the right set of notes, but I can't help you any further, brothers and sisters. Next topic, next quote from Dr. No, I'm not going to quote Dr. Freckles. Actually, the next thing we'll talk about is this article, this horrible, horrible article or story about these wild horses. Okay, so I'm not going to read the story, but the story popped up on social media. And I don't know if it's true or false, for one. I got to say, a lot of these stories now seem designed to just make people upset because there's no real resolution. There's no way through it. It's like Pizzagate. They gave you plenty of information to make you really angry, but did anything really get solved, friends? You know, in the last 4 or 5 years, I know you listen to Q and there's a secret Trump army someplace in the Grand Canyon, but if we come back to planet reality, they gave you Pizzagate, but did they give you any resolution? Did they really give you any way out? Okay, and I don't mean Epstein, quote unquote, killing himself. I mean, nobody believes that story. Not the least of which, you know, is Jeffrey Epstein drinking his orange soda in the Haifa or enjoying his condo in Antarctica or wherever he is. Even Jeffrey Epstein doesn't believe the story. Newsflash, he's probably not dead. He probably had enough information on enough people that the one thing I will say about Jeffrey Epstein is he did not kill himself and he also was not killed. No matter what you think, that did not happen. Somebody like him probably had a multiple nested system of what are called dead man switches, dead man plans. If you do this right, you can get one or two. You can't get them all. And if you can't get them all, then what you have is a massive data dump on people like, for example, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Marvin Minsky, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. I can keep going. The Podestas. Chances are Epstein has the goods on everybody, and chances are he has dead man switch setup networks everywhere. He has people, he has dead drops, he has lawyers and lawyers. He has file cabinets with little alarm clocks that go off. Chances are that nasty piece of crap is still alive for as long as he'll be alive, because I do believe our Lord Jesus will return. Maybe not this year, but if he does return this year, Jeffrey, I don't know how to put this, you're dead. You're gone. You're vaporized. Period. You are tossed into the pit. Jeffrey. So here's a news story that popped up, and I'm just going to read the headline. They adopted wild horses. They adopted wild horses. Then they sent them to die. You can find the news article yourself. If you research it, it amounts to people adopting wild horses, horses that were living in the wild in the Southwest. But instead of taking them to some pastoral, sort of, you know, beautiful location in Kentucky or somewhere in Switzerland or Mongolia, these horses ended up they ended up in what Alan Greenspan would call the stake. Alan Greenspan would say these wild horses, in the hedonic sense, ended up becoming steak. Steak, you know, maybe at IKEA meatballs. Do you remember that IKEA meatball story from 2013, Bo Blimp Doc? You know, when IKEA got caught putting horse meat, you know, in their meatballs. That was wonderful. When the world works so good. Next topic, but the reason why I stopped on that one is I thought it was just designed to make people upset. You know, I didn't really see, when I first read it, I said to myself, I don't really see what people do with this other than get upset. Okay, I just don't. Next topic. And this is a little dated. This is from, you know, a couple weeks ago, basically. Headline, and this is from bbc.com, and if you want the link, it's on the show notes, dfgtc.org/show notes, if you're listening on shortwave. Headline, U.S. fuel pipeline paid hackers $5 million in ransom. This article's from 14 May. I don't see the author, I don't see the obvious author here, but I'll just assume it's just BBC. A major U.S. fuel pipeline has reportedly paid cyber criminal gang DarkSide nearly $5 million in ransom following a cyber attack. Colonial Pipeline suffered a ransomware cyber attack over the weekend and took its service down for 5 days, causing supplies to tighten across the U.S. CNN, The New York Times, Bloomberg, and The Wall Street Journal all reported a ransom was paid, citing sources. Colonial said Thursday that it would not comment on the issue. On Friday, Japanese consumer tech giant Toshiba said its European division in France has been hit by the same cyber criminal gang. Well, that's great confirmation there, Toshiba. I mean, I totally trust you. Folks, whatever's true about the pipeline thing, this story is BS, okay? If you've ever worked around utilities, if you've ever worked around heavy industry, one of the things, well, you find out a couple things. Number one, a lot of this stuff does not tend to be directly connected to the internet. So if you wanted to hack it, you would have to be an employee. And that's doable. That's how most hacking happens. That's how most it's called social engineering. But you'd have to insinuate yourself into that organization. That's A. B, most of these systems are designed for what's called a cold reboot scenario, which means you shut them down and then you restart them. C, most of these systems have good old-fashioned analog gauges and controls. So even if the digital control is lying to you, you can look at the analog control, which could be hacked if you replace the analog control with a fake one. But again, that's a level of organization that goes a bit beyond script kiddies. You know, DarkSide script kiddies, I think it's a little bit further beyond that, my friends. So this story about the hackers hacking the pipeline is crap. It's crap. I don't know what the truth is. I would suggest that some of the logistical issues that are rippling through this neo-Stalinist hellhole are starting to rear their ugly heads, brothers and sisters. I would contend that we are working off the fumes of a dying empire. And those fumes are starting to wear thin. I would contend that 10 years ago, when they started buying billions of rounds of 40 cal ammo, they were probably stockpiling food too. But you can only stockpile so much food. And finally, I would contend that the reason why people are flocking to this country across the border is not because of your freedom. I mean, yeah, this place might be freer than every other shithole on planet Earth, but that's not why they're running to this particular prison camp. The reason why people are flocking here is because as crappy as things are in America right now, and as crappy as they're about to become, it is significantly worse everywhere else. There's your pipeline story. There's your truth. You can believe DarkSide hackers took down the pipeline that has systems designed to be rebooted in about 10 or 15 minutes, or you can dig a little deeper. But a lot of you guys, you love your Stockholm syndrome. You love your lies. You love feeling your warm lies next to your heart, your warm deceptions, because if you had to throw them away, you might have to ask a tough question or two. You might even have to confront some scary truths, and nobody wants to do that, brothers and sisters. Nobody. If you have, you know, and I know I'm being mean to my listeners, but this applies to me too. This applies to all of us. If we have to let go of our fears, then we have to confront the truth. That's the reality, okay? The reality is we have to be brave to confront the truth. It takes no bravery to accept these Stockholm Syndrome lies. It takes no bravery to wear your coffee filter. It might be dumb, but it takes no courage to just obey people. It takes no courage to ask random people, do I have to wear a mask? The answer is always no. Always. No. Next topic. Another Dr. Freckles quote, music is the chess of the heart. I don't know. That's a weird Dr. Freckles quote, music is the chess of the heart. You know, chess, the game of chess, or think go. Maybe it'd be better to say music is the go of the heart, but I think people might not get that, so they get the chess. Here's what I meant by that, what Dr. Freckles meant. Music is different from playing games, and music is different from, you know, the competitive scenarios that we often think of as being exemplary of human intelligence. But actually, music in many ways is way more powerful than chess. Because whereas chess, I think, touches a certain part of the brain, music touches every single part all at once. Music touches every feature of your awareness. Music ushers forth every memory. Music will remind you of a game of chess. And I suppose a game of chess might remind you of music, but that takes a little bit more work, doesn't it? So music is the chess of the heart. And I'll go to the next topic. Next topic, fake COVID documents. And because we're a few minutes to the end, this will be the last topic. I'm not going to read the link. There is a link in the show notes. I'm not going to read the news article. It's from Cairo 7. If you go to dfgtc.org/show notes, I'm going to drink a little more coffee here. If you go to Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango, charlie.org/show notes, you can read the news article yourself. But basically, it's an article telling people that the FBI has harsh penalties for faking COVID vaccination documents. Now, I compare and contrast this with a conversation I had, which I mentioned in a podcast a day or so ago. I compare and contrast this interest in the truth about vaccinations with a conversation I had with a healthcare professional, a PhD, an MD, somebody who was an executive at a hospital in 2010. I pointed out that a system that was being forced on them, Microsoft Amalga, was basically a broken system. It was a flawed system. And what was critical is that it failed to produce accurate or timely infectious disease reports. Now, what does that mean? The infectious disease report is what a nurse uses to make sure that post-op, you don't put the wrong person in the wrong room. And we talked about Grandma Francis yesterday, didn't we? This healthcare professional said that Grandma Francis didn't matter. This healthcare professional said this was not a concern. Even though hundreds of thousands of people die from hospital-acquired infections every single year, this healthcare professional said that Microsoft's reputation Bill Gates' reputation was more important than the health and safety of patients. Now tell me again about the fake COVID documents, Mr. and Mrs. FBI. Tell me again how I should take any of you COVID idiots seriously. Any of you psyop, fear-mongering pieces of crap seriously. This doctor said it did not matter. Can I use that against you, Mr. and Mrs. Doctor? Mr. and Mrs. Harborview Medical Center? It doesn't matter if your infectious disease reporting is accurate, because it doesn't matter if somebody's grandma dies of MRSA? Yeah, tell me again about the fake COVID documents, my friends. Tell me how I should feel bad if I fake a fake document about a fake thing that is faker than the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, combined. It is absurd. It is completely absurd, okay? I know, because I've worked around these people, how much respect these healthcare professionals deserve. And the amount of respect they deserve is zero at this point. Unless they are tearing down these, I can only call them, you know, death prisons at this point. Unless they're tearing down these death prisons, unless they're actually fighting against the lie, they're pretty much harming people. They're pretty much reinforcing the lie, and people are killing themselves and dying because of the lie. Mr. and Mrs., don't fake your COVID document. Oh, believe me, Mr. FBI, I will fake my COVID document because you faked your oath to the Constitution. My COVID document will be as real as your oath to the Constitution. Exactly and precisely that real, Mr. and Mrs. FBI. End, brothers and sisters. You've been listening to the Planetary Status Report, which is a podcast broadcast. We can be listened to from SoundCloud and MP3, dfgtc.org/mp3. You can go to imsully.com, or you can listen on shortwave Saturday, Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 a.m. UTC the next day if you're into the Queen. If you're into the Queen. Are you into the Queen, Mr. and Mrs. America? Do you wear your mask out of respect to the Queen? Are you buying coffee filters for your face that are certified by the Queen? How do you feel about the Queen? She's kind of old. Her husband just died. He's burning in hell. If you want the notes for this podcast broadcast, go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. If I've made you angry and you want to email me and say harsh things, go. You can just email me. That's me@imsully.com. And other than that, I would say try to do something today that is brave. Try to do something today that is courageous. Try to go outside today and not listen to the fear. I don't care if it's the race war fear or the Russia fear or the China fear. I don't care if it's the monkey herpes fear. Take off the coffee filter and live your life. And as far as I'm concerned, you can take the COVID vaccine passport as seriously as every U.S. military officer is currently taking seriously their oath to protect and defend the Constitution. Since they don't take that seriously, guess what? You don't have to take it seriously either. That's kind of how that works, brothers and sisters, once you realize that he's the mayor of Washington, D.C.